I'll leave it to them. Had weeks to prepare, and what it was, Pastor Perry sent a letter out to a number of people and says, here's slots I have open. You're invited to choose one to speak. And being how I am, I right away looked at, he says, there's a couple especially where I'd like to get filled as soon as possible. And I jumped in Ephesians and looked at one, and I opened Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. And one verse caught my eye, and I had a bunch of notes on it. Says, yeah, that sounds exciting. So it's kind of like a little elementary age kid who, the one in school who always goes, me, you know, the one everybody laughs at and makes fun of. Me, my turn. And I got the answer. And so I messaged him back right away. Dummy me, I should have read the rest of the chapter. There is one couple of good verses, but there's a lot of history in about 8 or 9 of the verses. And I look back at that and says, there ain't a lot there. So there's good news and bad news. Bad news is you might not get fed a whole lot this morning. Good news out is you might be out in 5 minutes, but you never know. Not likely with me, right, Deb? If y'all don't know or remember, I've been tuning pianos for 23 years. Started teaching driver's ed, still doing that. I started that back in 08. And so I like signs. And by the way, I was driving down the road the other day, and I saw this great big sign, larger than most on the road, and it had all these clocks from all over the world. And I thought, that's a strange sign, New York, Washington, LA, Japan, Tokyo, and all that. And I just took it as a sign of the times. I could blame Tom. All right. Honestly, I'm more nervous today than I've ever been. And I've spoke for many years, taught classes, and been in front of people lots of times over the years. But if he had called me this morning and said, well, we have a guest that we'd like to speak, would you mind? I said, that would have been fine. That doesn't mean I don't believe God has me here for a purpose, but more challenged today than I think ever before, because the format, the way I'm going about it today is different than ever before. Go ahead, sir. I'm going to read through some of the verses in Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 11, not all of them. But honestly, there's just one specific thing I'm going to focus on today. And at the end of the message, you might say, that's it. Well, I'm a person who would love to have great revelation, show you something I found, some nugget. But today, it's more a reminder for all of us of something, and that's okay. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, hatred, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death all that hatred. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. In the beginning, God created a man named Adam, and he gave him a companion named Eve, formed from the man. Together they had children, populated the earth, growing into many families and nations that spread across the land. But God had a special people, a chosen people, he called the Hebrews. He cherished them, protected them, gave them a promise of a Messiah, a Savior, one who would ultimately save them from the imminent destruction that was promised to all mankind at the end of the days of the earth because of sin on the earth. There are many other races and nations on the earth also who are not God's chosen ones, and they were collectively called the Gentiles, which most of us are. He did not promise salvation to them at that time. He didn't give them a promise, but it was to come through the Hebrew nation, who were later referred to as Israelites or Jews. Then to the Jews, the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, was born. And he preached his message of hope 3 years on the earth, until the day he was crucified by the very ones he came to save. But he overcame death in the grave, rose up to heaven, and sent the Holy Spirit in his place, a comforter and guide to help mankind walk that narrow path of salvation. Then God revealed the rest of his perfect plan, that all men should be saved, Hebrews and Gentiles, all of us. And not one human being will be denied access to the gates of heaven. And God, in his love and wisdom, empowered mighty evangelists to spread the good news that all of us, Gentiles also, were offered this free gift of salvation. Men like Paul the Apostle and Peter and Stephen, evangelists that spread the good news all over. And you see, he died on the cross. He offered all of this, and I believe it's something to sing hallelujah about. I believe it's something important enough that's going to excite us to know that we also have this. And then life happened. I, like all of you, look forward to good service. I look forward to good worship. I have my favorite music. Many of you really look forward to the best thing, Friday nights at the center. You look forward to gathering with other saints and celebrating. And you have those days where God just excites you, doesn't he? But then I'm here today to remind you that life happens. And by the time I'm finished, I'm hoping you'll understand that we need to know what to do when life happens. Because the worship can be great, but then life happens. Things can be fantastic, going wonderful, a day, weeks in a row, and then sometime life happens. And if these next few slides touch you a little more, forgive me if it upsets you, but I want to show you part of what real life is. For some of you, you've lost friends and loved ones, and it kind of came like a thief at night. It was unexpected, and you might have been left wondering, where was God in all this? Did he really know what he was doing? Was he in control? And then for some of you, it seemed like you had all the ducks in a row. Everything was planned, but the job didn't come through. The promotion didn't come through. Things happened. Others of you just can't forget what you used to be. Other people won't let you forget what you used to be. You can't remember how much you needed affirmation, always needed somebody there to pick you up, always just struggling to think better of yourself, and yet people around you won't let you forget the way you used to be. And then there are those, some of you, me included, we're different. We're just plain different. We don't fit into the crowd all the time. We don't seem to blend in with what the church or the world says we ought to be. We're the ones who people talk about, sometimes behind their back, and it hurts. It just hurts. Others have prayed and prayed and prayed. You've been in intercessions and agree with millions of people all over the earth who says, if my people, and believe for the great things to happen, the chains of bondage to break, but the factory's still closed, the world is still full of wickedness and destruction, politics are going down the drain, and you wonder, where is God in all this? Then there are those who paid the ultimate price. You know people who have. And it hurts to realize that sometimes the good seem to be punished while the wicked go free. And that hurts, and we're left wondering, God, where were you? What about those many, many of us who are lonely? Our faces don't show it, our actions don't seem to show it, but we have that hidden place. And when nobody's looking, we feel completely lonely in a crowd, feel like nobody cares anymore. There's many, many more I'm coming to understand, more than ever imagined, people that appear to be happy, but they're so lonely and hurting. Then there's those who've been the ones that God called to have children that might be challenged or disabled. And you're tempted to look around and say, but God, why couldn't you choose me to have that perfect child that everybody wants to hold and fawn over and everything? You know they're a gift from God, but sometimes it still hurts. Then they're elderly. And though they love their Jesus dearly, sometimes they wonder and say, I wish somebody would come and visit in person. I wish somebody would send me a real card. I wish somebody would show how much they care for me. And then the families. Lots of pain in families. Life goes on. Families are broken. There's all kinds of fighting and bickering, and it seems there's no love. And some people are caught in the middle. Many times the children are caught in the middle. And then in families, you wonder where. There's not enough time, there's not enough money, there's not enough anything. And those who care for the families, those who are left carrying that weight, are left to say, but God, what about my dreams and passions? You're doing what you have to do, and sometimes feeling like life is just passing by and nothing will ever happen. And I see many, many others also. Sometimes I'll look on Facebook and I wish I hadn't, because what I see is a lot of people crying out, hoping somebody will like them. Oh, that may sound funny to you, and you say, well, nobody really. No, I believe there's a lot of people just hoping the right people will give an affirmation, say, that's a great comment, that's a great something, I love your post. If you think that sounds silly, sometimes get in the hearts of the people that are there just begging for somebody to reaffirm them, begging for somebody to say, you really are valuable. There's a lot of pain, a lot of loneliness. There really is. Verse 18, it says, 17:8, he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him, we all now have access to the Father by one Spirit. It's an amazing thing. But I ask you today, is something more than salvation needed? It most definitely is. I'm not going to wait for your answer. Salvation is great, the promise of heaven. And are there days I just wish God would just end this for me, take me off this earth because I can't handle it anymore? Yes, I admit, if you call that weak, that's fine. I am weak. I am. I'm in need just the rest of you. Sometimes it just seems like I don't want to see another hurting person. I don't want to see any more wickedness. I don't want to see it on the news and the TV and everywhere. Can't take anymore. Are there more benefits in salvation? These are things, normally when people say access to the Father, they say, well, these are the things we pray for. You pray for your health. You pray for rescue out of a situation. You pray for the finances, family relationships to be helped, favor, improved jobs, vocations, lots of direction. Of course we pray for these things, for peace, for wisdom, and there's a whole host of other things we pray for, and that's good. But that's my question to you today. Is there something else you really, really want and you just don't realize it? I'm proposing you today there is. Nope, that's not what I was looking for, so we'll just lay that here so I don't slip on it. Don't need that either. This is what I was looking for. Four scripture passages I want to read through real quick. And you may not catch it immediately, but I see a common thread through here, even though they seem totally unrelated. Way back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 20, it says, but for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Remember that when he gave him Eve, she was without sin at that time, and she was all that Adam needed in a sense. But when they fell, was Eve still all he needed? 1 Samuel 22, verse 2. It says, you remember this, the passage where David gets his fighting men. It says, "And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to David. So he became captain over them." And we often talk about those people and a lot of good things to learn from those guys. But I ask you, besides being a captain, what was David to them? Think about that. Job 19, 1-3. "Then Job answered his three friends and said, 'How long will you torment my soul and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times you have approached me, and you are not even ashamed that you have wronged me.'" At that moment, shortly before that, Job's wife had just turned against him. Said, "Leave God. Just forget about God. Do what you need to do. God's not going to rescue you." Job needed somebody to comfort him. So his three supposed, it implies they're his closest friends. Instead of comfort, what'd they bring? Condemnation. They said, "It's all your fault, Job. This wouldn't have happened." Lastly, John 8, verse 10 and 11. "When Jesus had gotten up from the ground and saw no one left but the woman, he said to her, 'Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?' She said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said to her, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.'" There's a lot of lessons in that passage, I understand. And Jesus did forgive her. But more importantly, the forgiveness and the possibility of salvation and coming to know this Messiah, was there something else there? My opinion is that the common thread in these four is they needed somebody who would have compassion and just be an ear to listen to. David, I think, became more of a father than a captain to these men. I really do. They were distressed, depressed, in debt. They had nobody that cared about them. Granted, they were wicked men, but you know, the wicked are searching for somebody who will love them and care for them too. They don't even know God. And I believe these men found somebody that says, "Guys, you ain't exactly the salt of the earth, but I'm for you. I see potential in you. Rally around me and I'm going to protect you. Make one of my team, my family." And I believe they became a family. And they grew from 400 to 600. That's what I see there. Adam, when he fell, he needed something more than Eve. He needed a God to walk in the cool of the night with him. Remember, walk in the garden? That's what he started with. Job, as I mentioned, he had nobody, literally nobody, nobody left whatsoever. It's no wonder he was driven to the point of cursing God, say, "I wish I was never born." Can you blame him? His wife turned against him. His best friends turned against him. Could any of us be any stronger than that? It ain't easy. It really isn't. It's not easy to put up with that kind of torment. Their very words, nothing but condemning him. Where was he going to turn? And the woman caught in adultery. Is it important who she was or what she was? Not so much, except she was in need of somebody. Were the men that she was with, were they comfort to her? No, they were using her. Did she get a listening ear from them? No. What she found was a man who not only told her what she did and a man that rescued her, but a man that says, "You are important to me. Talk to me. I'll listen to you. I'm here to support you. I'm here for you. Your sins are forgiven, yes. But I have to wonder, was there any more conversation sometimes? Because not everything is recorded in Scripture. And I wonder if he had more contact. If others came along and says, "Woman, here's what you were, but there is so much in you. Let's forget about the past. Let's see just what God can do with you." That's really what I believe happened. So the common thread here is everybody needs somebody. But I want you to know, before I change here, the answer will be to something else, someone to listen, is what we need. And during worship, and even in the last week, I thought over the congregation, everybody I know. And it brings me to tears. It humbles me to realize that for those who rely on me the most, my own children, I wish I could be everything they needed me to be. You don't know how much it hurts. Lisa and our kids, they're local. Sarah and her kids. Vicky and Andy and their kids. Casey's close enough. I appreciate him coming this morning. But I realize life, it gets me down too. It interrupts. I have to work. I have to be busy about doing what I believe God has called me to do. I am not enough for them. I looked around this morning. I saw Caleb and James, and I said, I just wish I could go have an hour to talk to them, find out all that's happening. I saw Mitch when he walked in. I really wanted to give you a big hug, Mitch. We didn't know each other that long back in a couple years ago. I wish I had time to just sit down and say, what's happening? How's college going? How's classes going? I would love to catch up with Steve and Kay one of these days. What's happened? I'd like to know what's happening in Eric's life. I looked around and to Marilyn and to Dorothy and so many others. I'd say, do you realize what a blessing you are? I wish there were time for me to be the encouragement to so many more people that I want to be. But life, there isn't time. My life gets interrupted too. This next slide will start a closing song. The title is Never Alone. I'll speak over it, some of it, but I want you to understand one point. More than turning to God with prayers and requests, what God really wants is for you to climb up on His lap and just talk. Oh, that wasn't, you know, just talk. Do you realize that sometimes you don't need to just tell somebody your problems looking for an answer? You need to just talk, have somebody who will listen. That's why my wife and I have had a wonderful 36 years. It ain't easy for her putting up with me that long. But I find that we have learned for many years now, just when we get home, we just talk. What's happening? Tell me what's going on. What bothered you today? What's your dreams? And we support each other completely. Not everybody has that. God wants you to climb up on His lap, sit next to Him, and just talk. I said from the beginning, didn't I? It's going to sound so overly simple. I understand that. But if you think you just run to God right at the emergency situation, I want you to know that He wants you to talk to Him all the time. Do you actually believe that God wants to hear your voice and just have a conversation constantly? Hopefully this morning, in only about 4 or 5 more minutes, I'm going to thoroughly convince you that how much God loves you and wants you to talk to Him. He loves to hear your voice. He wants to know everything that's happening, what you're thinking. He wants you to get angry. It's okay if you get angry. He wants you to tell Him everything. Nothing is hidden anyway. These words, listen. Number of years old, this song, but it's powerful to me. Convince you that you are never alone. Turn it up a little bit, please. I can't hear the lyrics. It's like it's missing one side. Yeah. Nothing different. Unmute it. Nothing happens. Writer of this song did meet. It took me a long time. I had to write the words out to understand what the song was saying. She showed up and thought God wasn't there. She only thought God wasn't there. I want you to understand when you're just talking, when you're driving, get up in the morning over coffee and you wonder, I don't hear anything. My prayers seem to be bouncing off. Who's listening? I want you to understand you are not alone. God is listening to you every single moment. Your thoughts, your words, your cries. He's hearing every single word of it. You cannot walk out of this place and keep saying, I'm not sure God's listening. Because he's sitting there just waiting and waiting and waiting for you to talk to him. You are not alone today, and you're not going to be alone tomorrow. There's not a moment on this earth for the rest of your life you're going to be alone. Not separate, because you're part of me. Though you're invisible, I'll trust the unseen. My friends, I'm asking today, talk to yourself. Convince yourself. Let God talk to you that no matter whether he's unseen or not, you must be convinced he's listening to every single word. Do you remember all those things of life, the tragedies that happen in life? If you're walking in those, you're walking in other tragedies right now. Things that just life has blown you away, taken you by surprise. Can you turn to God right now and say, but God, and start talking to him? Crying out, asking for an answer is one thing. But if you really want God to comfort you, I'm recommending you talk to God and realize you're not alone. You must leave here convinced that God is listening. He really, really loves you that much. There is absolutely no limit to God's love. Whatever you think you've done, whatever thing has happened, wherever you think you are, how weak you think you are, how little you prayed, how little you worship, how little you attend, whatever the whatevers, that changes nothing about how God loves you. Absolutely nothing. He cares for you so abundantly, you cannot even put it into words. And if you deny him the chance to talk to you, his heart actually breaks too. But yours will be rewarded and enriched if you'll just talk to him. So I hope you'll go away with a simple message. God wants to talk to you. He wants you to talk to him. It's that simple. Life is tough, and it's going to come unexpectedly. So I encourage you, trust God. He really does care. Don't be tempted to think that he doesn't.
Thank you, Jim. Could I have the worship team back up, please? I don't think there's anything I want to add to that. It's all been said. Can I have the personal ministry team, please? They would come forward. These are individuals who will pray for you in the power of the Holy Ghost.